said she could hear Julian sing.
Oh.
So. Of course, there's not a microphone right there, so I don't know about the, music.
We asked, Heidi Fox one day.
Was that, did you get my grass off?
Yeah, that's what you did. Did you?
And she said
something?
Hold on, who was that?
Delta.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, gracias, y tú.
Delta here this afternoon. We got here just a little early so they can test the.
Oh, okay.
The new thing.
Is it her?
Well, is he still testing? No, we were actually playing so he could see if he could hear us.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's turn in our hymnals to number 390. Number 390. We'll stand and begin our song service by singing Love Lifted Me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. 390 in your hymnals on the first. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Could help, his love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, his love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Amen. When nothing else could help, his love lifted me. Love lifted me. His love lifted me. When nothing else could help, his love lifted me. Let's sing the last. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the seas. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, his love lifted me. Amen. His love lifted me. When nothing else could help, his love lifted me.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. Good to see everybody tonight in the Lord's house. And this is, of course, the pilot test for the sermon audio. So we're hoping that this everything is coming across okay, hoping that the music and everything is doing well. If you have joined by sermon audio and it's not working, I don't know what I can do at this point. So you'll just have to tough it out and be without us for one evening. But I think it's working. We tested it, and I think it's working fine. We may have to do some tweaks to the music and the microphones as we go, as we learn more about it. So we thank you for being here tonight and then being online tonight at Sermon Audio. And let's just pray that God would bless our time together this evening. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that we can call thee our Father. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come into the house of God and we can worship. And Lord, we pray that you bless this time together tonight. As we pray together, as we sing together, as we hear from the Word of God, I pray that it would be for your honor, for that glory, for your glory and for that purpose alone. And Father, we ask you now to work in our hearts tonight. Speak to us from the Word of God and use the man of God tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. And like I say, it's good to see everybody. Brother Chuck's going to come now with some more singing. It looks like that we've got an orchestra building here somewhere. So in a few days, we may have an orchestra. Wouldn't that be great? All right. And if they can learn to play the musical instruments as quickly as they learn to play football and baseball, it would be great, wouldn't it? By the way, especially since baseball and football and all that has gone by the wayside for this year. My comments about that would be that for the NFL and the Major League Baseball and all that, if people will just quit going to it anyway and stop buying the memorabilia and the T-shirts and all of that, this thing will just clear up just like that. So hit them in their pocketbook. Amen, Brother Chuck.
Amen. Number 170 in your hymnals. Number 170. We are saved by the blood shed on Calvary's cross. Saved by the blood of the crucified ones. Number 170. Now y'all get to show out on this if you want to, okay? On the first. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, joint heir with the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, saved. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Let's sing the last. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Amen, amen. I didn't quite make it to the top of that one. Amen. But let's turn to number 467 in your hymnals. 467. I need thee every hour. And after we sing this, we're going to ask the Greers, if they will, to come sing for us. I certainly need my Savior every hour. On the first, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need every hour I need thee.
Savior, I come to Thee.
Amen. Let's sing it all.
I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
Amen.
I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
You saw little Lulu over there singing her heart out. Amen. I remember when Adelie was that little, she was just as eager. Praise the Lord for them. Number 100 in your hymnals. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He's my friend. Sing with me on the first.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him I would fall. go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. And the last, Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.
Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's right. Amen. We'll sing one other, and then we'll get to hear from Brother Steve, Brother Harper, preach to us again, and they're going to sing for us too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number 576 in your hymnals. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. On the first.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray.
Early let us seek him.
Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
I enjoyed that last song we sang. I leaned over and I asked Janet, I said, "You remember? My mom sang that song at our wedding."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We did not know she was going to sing that, but she said she did sing that. And can I give you a piece of advice, young men, young ladies? Find your husband, find your wife in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
That's where we met. We met in church. I came in one Sunday morning, saw the prettiest little thing you ever seen. Went over and sat down beside her and didn't even ask if I could. I just did. We've been sitting together in church ever since. But you marry the right girl, the right young man, and let the Lord lead you, and what a blessed, peaceful life you will have. All right. Pray for us tonight as we try to sing this. We are like so many other people. It's not virus. It's just allergies and all of the things that go along with summer are kind of bothering us a little this evening. So pray for us while we sing Sheltered in the Arms of God.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. Beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within.
Tried this morning to give a quick update on us. There has been so much God has done for us in this past year, and even through the pandemic and things that have been going on, I don't know if we really have time for us to cover everything that God has done. One disappointment that we have, I saw Dr. Kershey and Sister Kitty come in, is we had to cancel our graduation in India this year. We were all ready to go. Dr. Kershey, he was warming up his sermon, and we were ready to have our graduation there. And then the virus hit, and we had to cancel the graduation services. Right now, because of the technical issues that you would have in jungle villages of India getting internet, we're really not even able at this time to have classes either in person. They're not allowing us to have in-person classes, or we don't have internet there, or I say we have internet, but it is not fast enough to be able to broadcast the classes through the internet we have. But the boys who are there in the children's home, someone asked how many boys. We have 10 boys that are there. We're hoping to be able to finish the rest of the children's home. Once we do, we'll be able to house 20 to 25 kids there, double, a little more than double the number. But they are doing online school. And we do have some computer workstations that we set up in our chapel, our church chapel area. We set up some computer workstations, and we were able to find a company that could provide us some satellite internet. But the problem is the squirrels keep chewing the cables in two. And they keep giving us ideas, but the problem is the squirrels are smarter than we are. And they keep chewing the cable. So it's intermittent a lot of times at best. You know how technology can be, right? Especially new technology. So please pray for the boys. They're all, as I said this morning, they're all doing fine. Brother Cody, he and his wife, they're in Florida today. He's preaching and sharing their vision there with two churches. And I told you this morning how much we surely need them. And they are preparing and ready one day when we are no longer able. He and his wife are going to continue and assume this ministry and continue on with that. But another thing that happened to us is over the past, well, since 2014, we have had our personal ministry, which is Redemption Baptist Ministries. It's a missions help ministry where we help and assist other missionaries and others who are trying to preach the gospel around the world. We'll help anybody who's trying to preach the gospel and preach it the right way. And around the first of this year, some changes started happening. And some things were going on, and I didn't know what was happening. It looked like our ministry was shrinking. And that ministry was shrinking down and was probably going to be just Janet and me. And I told Janet at the time, I said, if we get back to the point where it's just you and me, if that's God's will, then that's what I want. But what has happened is God has taken that, and it may have been shrinking for some time and pruned, and I'm not saying there were dead limbs that were removed. I'm just saying that it was smaller now because God is making it bigger. It is growing. What happened with us last year, you know that we were praying the Lord would lead us to the church and where He wanted us to serve. Well, God had led us to Harvest Baptist Tabernacle in Jonesboro, Georgia. Dr. Joe Arthur's the pastor there. And at that church, they've had a small mission board, and that board that they have, it has more or less focused on prisons, a prison ministry. They have a ministry in northern Florida, parts of Alabama and Georgia. And for the past two or three years, the way it came about was one of the men in the church came to Brother Joe, said, "Brother Joe, I've been in prison ministry, and I'd like to start a ministry out of Harvest." And they shook hands, and they said, "All right, you're now a missionary of the prisons." And he's been going to the prisons, and they named that mission board Harvest International Missions, or just simply H-I-M, Him. And the slogan, if you will, for that is, "It's all about Him." And it truly is all about Him. Well, as our ministry began to go through changes, the vision has always been for that mission board to have an international outreach and to be able to reach globally. That's why they called it Harvest International Missions. They didn't call it Harvest Prison Ministries, but they call it Harvest International. And Brother Joe approached me and talked with me some. I talked with him, told him what was going on. He explained his vision. And we are now in the process of our mission board, Redemption Baptist Ministries, is being absorbed into, and it will be not a part of, but it will become Harvest International Missions. And what they did was they gave me a title. They called me the Director of International Missions. And with that and $2, you can buy a cup of coffee. Okay? I said, what they bestowed upon me was a position and a title that'll give you writer's cramp. Okay? There's no salary that went with that. There were no extra benefits that go with that. Because you see, we still are dependent on churches just like this. We're still living by faith. We still operate by faith. But what we have now is God has given us a greater outreach. Currently, it's us, Brother Cody, who is with us, Harvest International. Also, Harvest has accepted Brother Ray Edwards, whom I know Bible Baptist supports, Brother Edwards in Central South America. We have another man, Jeff Minix, who is built. He goes internationally, builds churches internationally. Missionary, if they need a church built, they need someone to build it, he'll go. He'll contract the work. He'll do the work. He'll build the church. And they have he calls his ministry the Master's Builders. And along with that, a missionary in Chile who is working with us. And we are formulating during this time of the virus. What we have been doing is we have been preparing for a time when everything opens back up again and we will be able to reach out. My vision has always been, when I was pastoring and now as a missionary, and now I've transferred that same vision to Harvest, as Brother Joe's given me a lot of leeway and a lot of freedom there in the mission. My vision has always been this: never let the sun set on the preaching of the gospel. In the beginning, it was from New Beginning Baptist Church. For us, it was with Redemption Baptist Ministries. Now it's with Harvest International Missions. It is my vision not to have 200, 300, 400 missionaries, 20 in this country, one in that country, two in this. No, my vision is in every time zone throughout the world, there is a missionary, and that missionary is preaching the gospel. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, throughout the entire world, the gospel never ceases to be preached. That is our vision, and that's what we're trying to accomplish. And Dr. Arthur is well known. He is well known throughout the eastern United States and even all the way over to the left coast. The church that's been having so much problem with the government there, Dr. Jack Treiber, Dr. Arthur is a member of the board of directors for their Bible college, Golden State Bible College. He's a member of their. So that gives us a large platform to be able to reach a lot of people, to bring them in to reach the world with the gospel. That's what we're trying to do, get the gospel out. All of that's taken place during the pandemic. So I said this morning, God is not hamstrung. God's hands are not tied. God is still working and God is still doing great things. And another problem that I have had is my Spanish is so-so, más o menos. Oh yeah, plus minus, that's what they say. We say so-so, they say Masaminos. Yeah, they say, you know, so-so. I can communicate when we're just talking, but my problem is I don't always choose the right word when I'm conversing to Spanish people. And there's been more than one occasion, you know, I say the wrong word, they're snickering, they're laughing, and I look at them and they look at me and I ask them, what did I say? They tell me and we all laugh. And it's, I have said some funny things in Spanish, not realizing what I'm trying to say the right thing, but just don't. Matter of fact, I have. We were going and knocking on doors, inviting people to church, and the young man that was with me was helping me and trying to teach me and whatever. And as we were leaving, I was trying to say in Spanish, God bless you. And that phrase is Dios te bendiga. Dios te bendiga. I don't know what I was saying when I was learning Spanish. As we left about the third house and people were snickering at me under their breath, Miguel looked at me and he said, Pastor, you need to be careful because sometimes you've been cussing. Like, oh, no wonder they were laughing at me. But I said all that to say this. This is my point. Whenever I preach, the Word of God must be clear. You cannot have confusion when you preach the Word of God. So I always, as much as possible, try to use a translator to help me to preach so the message that's preached is clear. The problem is a lot of the translators, some of the translators we've used from time to time, they don't know the Bible, they don't know theology or the words, and so they look at me and they say, I don't know how to translate that. You know, but just a few weeks ago, God touched the heart of a young man who's from South Texas. His name is Ruben Casas. He is from South Texas. His mom and dad are from Mexico, and God has called him into missions. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, you need somebody to translate for you? He said, I'll go with you. I'll travel with you. I'll translate for you. You tell me when you're going. I'll meet you at the airport. I'll carry your luggage. I said, what's your number? So Lord willing, when the borders do open up again and we begin traveling to Central South America, Brother Reuben is going to be traveling with us, helping us, translating us so we stay out of trouble and we're not saying many cuss words anymore in Spanish. But God has really been absolutely. It's just amazing what God will do if you'll just allow Him to work. Just open yourself to God and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. It's amazing what God will do. So I was going to do this morning. I forgot to do that. After church is over tonight, if you have any more questions for us about the children's home, or any other ministries and things we're doing, do that. These are our new prayer cards. They have the new support address on there that's on this side. So I know the church has already transferred our support to the new address and done all that. Thank you so much for your expediency in getting that done. There's our cards. What I want you to do is I want you to come and get one. And I want you, when you have your devotions, pray for us and our ministry. Pray for us and our ministry. God has given us a lot of responsibility, and I don't want to fail the Lord. I don't want to fail Him. But please continue to pray for us as God continues to do amazing things above we could even ask or think how good God is. All right. Well, I began this morning preaching out of the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 8 and beginning in verse number 20 through 22, Jeremiah 8, 20 through 22. Well, this morning what I gave you was about half of my introduction. Okay, I never really made it to the message, but I basically did the introduction. So tonight what I'd like to do is I would like to skip the rest of the introduction and go right to the body of the message. All right? We're not going to waste any time. We're going to go straight to it. Jeremiah 8:20. hear this message Jeremiah is preaching in the gate of Solomon's temple. As he's preaching, he says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the help of my daughter, of my people, recovered? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would touch us. Lord, use us. Bring the message to us that You would have preached tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The question, I would like to look at these questions. There are two questions that Jeremiah asks as he's preaching this sermon. And as a matter of fact, he's asking his questions. It's almost as if these questions, he's crying out in desperation. He is frustrated. He doesn't understand. And he's just in his heart is moved, and he has been weeping over his country, over his nation, his people. And he asks these questions, and they are rhetorical questions. He's not really expecting anyone to give him an answer. As a matter of fact, when the preacher is preaching, many times he'll ask a question, but the preacher's not waiting for the congregation to respond with an answer, but he's really just putting a thought in your mind. He's wanting to direct your attention in a certain direction. And here, he asks the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And these questions, he asked them, why then is not the help of the daughter of my people recovered? These questions are not just rhetorical. They are borderline sarcastic. I mean, they are on the borderline of sarcasm. Because, in fact, Gilead was a very, very famous and well-known area for its healing balm. So when he said, is there no balm in Gilead, the fact is everyone knew there wasn't just balm in Gilead, but there was more balm in Gilead than you could ever imagine or expect. There was plenty of balm in Gilead. And he said, is there no physician there? Well, the answer to that was, with all of that balm and with all of that medication, with all that was there, there were more than enough physicians in Gilead. There is a balm, and there are physicians. And he begins to go into the reason, the purpose of why the people are not recovered, why they are not healed. Tonight, we've already looked, basically verse number 17 in chapter number 8. He said, behold, I will send serpents and cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in the far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? And verse number 17, there's the source of the suffering. And really, that's what we covered this morning. And as we began to preach this morning, the source of the suffering is they had turned their backs on God. They had willfully rejected God. They knew God. They knew of God. The prophets had preached to them about God. They knew, because every day the temple, Solomon's temple, stood as a testimony and a message that there is a God in Israel. And that God is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. But yet they turned their back on Him. They refused to follow Him. They would not repent. And This morning I told you about Stephen and his message. As he said, "You stiff-necked, ye hard-hearted, you doth always resist." Israel was a nation of resistors. They resisted God and turned their back on God and didn't want anything to do with God. Therefore, God said, He promised them in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, He promised that judgment, if you will not heed the voice of God, if you refuse to repent, if you refuse to follow God and His will, judgment will fall upon you and your house. Judgment will fall upon your nation. Judgment is coming to you. And this was the source of their suffering. And this too is the source of the suffering that we are going through today. We live in a country that seemingly has turned their back on God. And of course we know the Bible tells us that a great falling away is coming. A great apostasy, walking away from known truth. There are going to be those who will know the truth, but they will walk away from it. Paul told Timothy, they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. They would rather hear fables and kind stories and good words. And that they would rather hear this than the preaching of judgment and preaching of repentance and preaching of turning to God. Therefore, this is the source of their suffering. They turned their back on God. And the severity, how severe would this be? He said, I would comfort myself in sorrow, but my heart is faint within me. He could not, Jeremiah said, I cannot even comfort. There's no comfort within me. There's no source of comfort within me. The suffering is too great. The suffering is too severe. And so the suffering that was coming to the nation of Israel and the suffering that will be coming to this world when the church is gone and the tribulation begins, it will not be a suffering that they'll be able to deliver themselves from, but it will be a suffering that will be severe. And verses 19 and 20, here in these verses, there's the sympathy for their suffering. And the middle of verse number 19, this is not Isaiah speaking, this is God speaking. He said, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? Why have they done that? Why do people turn their back on God? I don't know if I have a clear answer for that. I don't understand why people would turn their back on God. I don't understand why people would even claim there is no God. But it's beyond me to be able to explain those things. But we know just by experience, by life, we have met those who do not believe in God or believe in the God of the Bible. They will not follow God. They have other ideas and other gods that they follow and other books that they will read from. In other ways, they live their life in a different manner. But what they're doing is they are provoking God to anger, and judgment will come. In Isaiah verse number 20, what he is making reference to is the time of harvest. When he said the harvest is past, summer has ended, the time for harvesting, the time for preaching, the time for repenting, the time for turning back to God, it's too late. It's too late. You have crossed God's deadline. I remember the message that was preached by a preacher. Right now, I don't recall the name. Brother Cooper probably recall. He preached God's dead. Sir? A.L. Smith. God's J. L. Smith. J. L. Smith. Preached on crossing God's deadlines. God's deadline. And there comes a time whenever you refuse to repent, you refuse to return to God, you refuse to think the message of God and the man of God, and you turn your back on God, there is a deadline, a line that you can cross. And Isaiah said, you have crossed the line, you have gone too far, that harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. But this is the message that I want to get to. This is where I want to go. And this is the solution for their suffering. The source of their suffering, they turned their back on God. The severity of suffering was they were going to be carried away into captivity. The sympathy for their suffering, there was no sympathy. Sympathy was past. Harvest was past. But there is a solution. There is a solution. And that solution, it was right there. It was plentiful. It was available. And there were those who knew how to apply it and how to use it. And we think about this balm of Gilead. When I began to study into this balm of Gilead and what it really was and where it came from and what it was used for. And when we think about this balm of Gilead, here's the problem. Here's the real problem they had in Israel. And can I tell you, this is a man problem too. When I say man, I'm talking about men. I'm not talking about mankind. I'm talking about this is a problem men have. Their problem was they knew there was a medicine. They knew there was a doctor, but they would not go to the doctor and they would not take the medicine. How many men do you know that sounds like? Janet tells me you could be half dead and I wouldn't know it until you was already in the grave. I just don't talk about it. When I have aches and pains and hurts, I don't talk about it. A man, he could be walking around with his arm hanging by a piece of skin and he'd say, well, you know, if it would just heal, I think it'll heal a little bit. I'll go to the doctor if it don't get any better. The problem with the people of Israel is there was a doctor and there was a cure, there was a medication, they just wouldn't take it. They wouldn't receive it. And that's the problem with people today. There is a cure for sin. There is a cure for the condition that our nation is finding itself in. Amen. There's a cure for all of this. But if you're going to get better, you got to take the medicine. You got to go to the doctor. What good does it do for the medicine to sit on the counter and it never gets into you? What good does it do to hear the message and to hear the preaching if it never gets into you? There is a balm. There is a cure. There is something that can cure and heal not only the nations, but there is a cure that can heal you and me. There is a balm in Gilead, the songwriter said, that can make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead that can cleanse the sin-sick soul. For that balm that is there in Gilead, we know it is none other or nothing other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the balm of Gilead. That balm that can soothe the soul and make us whole and heal our sickness and turn us and make us healthy again. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the true balm. And we find that balm throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, and we find it literally in the New Testament. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus, in Matthew 27 and 4, Judas said about the blood of Jesus, he said, this was innocent blood. He said, I have betrayed innocent blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is innocent blood. There are no pollutants. There is no sin. There is no dilution that is in the blood of Christ, but it is pure blood. It's innocent blood. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:9, he said it is precious blood, for we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, in 1 John 1:7, he called it cleansing blood. It is a blood that can cleanse our soul and cleanse our sin. In Revelation 1:5, he called it a washing blood. It is a blood that Isaiah said could wash and clean whiter than a fuller's soap. And it's a blood that will cleanse us and wash us and not just remove the stain. They say it's deeper, that this blood can go deeper than the stain of sin has ever gone. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul
in Acts 20:28, he called it purchasing blood. It's the blood that purchased you and I from the slave block of sin. It's the blood of the kinsman redeemer. It's purchasing blood. In Ephesians 1:7, it's redeeming blood. Romans 5:9 is justifying blood. Colossians 1:20, it's peacemaking blood. The writer of Hebrews said it is sanctifying blood. Hebrews 13:12. Hebrews 13:20 said it is powerful blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Another song that comes to mind is, what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:22 tells us very plainly that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The only way sin could be forgiven is blood must be shed. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of bulls and goats, of sheep, of turtle doves, and of many different animals of sacrifice. But in the New Testament, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, who came and hung on a cross at Calvary and shed the final blood for your sin and for my sin. This is the balm of Gilead. But the balm does you no good if you will not receive the medicine, or if you will not take the medicine. If you don't go to the physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the great physician. If you won't go to Him or believe in Him, it will do you no good. Well, I said, Jeremiah, as he's preaching here, he's saying, is there no balm? He's like, what's the matter, you people? What's the matter with you people? Is there no balm in Gilead? Like, you know there's balm in Gilead. You know there's physicians in Gilead. How come we're not recovered? There's plenty for all. And so it is, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not limited in any form or in any fashion. There's no limitations. Anyone can come and receive of the fountain of life freely. There is no limitation whatsoever. So why aren't we healed? Why aren't we healthy? Why aren't we following God? Because we refuse to come. And there's something about this balm. The balm itself, I began researching this, and I started looking in Isbys. Some of you might know what Isbys is. It's just simply an acronym for the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. It's about this thick. It'll take up half the memory in your cell phone to download it. But I began researching this balm in Isbys. And this is what it had to say about it. It said that the balm, it was grown in the mountainous regions of Gilead, and there were just certain trees that it was found on. They really didn't have a name in particular or a classification for that tree. But they said it was a small and ragged looking tree. Just a small, I mean, when you looked at it, you would really think to yourself, well, that's not much. Where could healing come from in that? You know, we might look at it and think of it as a scrub bush. I mean, if you just looked at it from the outside, it really didn't look like it had any healing power. There was nothing really about it. In my mind, the Holy Spirit immediately took me back to Isaiah chapter number 53. And as Isaiah chapter number 53, Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And he began telling us about the Lord. This is what he had to say about him. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." I believe that if you looked at the Lord, his physical anatomy, you would look at him and say, how could that man be the Son of God. I believe he did not have the charisma or the attraction that Absalom may have had. I do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had the stature of a man like Saul, whom the people looked at and they thought, surely he'd make a great king. Look at his stature. Look at how he carries himself. I do not believe the Lord Jesus looked like that. I believe that he looked like just a common, ordinary person, just like you, just like me. And even when the people of Galilee, of Nazareth, when he came and preached there, they weren't astonished by his preaching. They weren't drawn to him and turned to God. They said about him, isn't this the son of Joseph the carpenter? Who is this? He's just a carpenter's son. That's all he is. Just a common, ordinary man. I believe that when you looked at the Lord Jesus Christ on the outside, there was no beauty that would draw you to him, that would make you think that he's the Son of God. Look at him. That's got to be the Son of God. Look at his physique. Look how he carries himself. Look at just his movement and how he goes about his business. Surely that couldn't be the Son of God. So this plant that healing came from, then it was just a scraggly, ragged-looking tree. So the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He was like a tender plant and a root that had grown up. And another remark that is besaid about this tree is that in order to get the balm, see, the balm came from a resin. In order to get the resin out of that tree and to make the balm, they had to break the bark off of the limbs of the tree, and then the resin would start to come out. So I continued reading in Isaiah. The Bible says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We despised him and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Yet he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So in order for you and I to have healing, in order for you and I to be healed by the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like that tree of Gilead when they made the balm, it had to be bruised and it had to be cut. It had to be broken. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to, on the tree of Calvary, he had to be bruised. He had to be broken. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. He was pierced in his side. And so it is when he was pierced, and whenever he was giving his life, that the life-flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ began flowing out, what kept him alive in this earth, on this earth for 33 and a half years, is the same blood that when it's applied to our heart will keep us alive forever and ever and ever. It is the balm of Gilead. There on the trees of the mountains of Gilead, they would bruise the tree and the resin would flow out. And there on the mountain of Calvary, hanging on the tree, was the balm of Gilead. And when they bruised him and the blood flowed out, it's for your healing and my healing. It is for spiritual healing. And for all eternity, we are healed. This is something else I read when I was reading about this in Isby's. It said the resin, when it came out, it looked like honey as it was coming out. It looked like honey. And it's kind of like a honey coming out of a honeycomb. And I thought about that honey. When I think about that honey, my mind went back to the children when they were in the wilderness, and there God provided them manna in the morning and manna in the evening. And they said when they ate it, it tasted like wafers of honey. And so it is, that bread that brought life, that when it was sweet to the taste, it sustained them and kept them. And they went on that food for 40 years. They traveled in the wilderness. So it is that when the honey begins to come out of the Lord Jesus Christ, when that flowing blood begins to come out, the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that He is good." If we will taste it, it'll be like honey to our mouths, and it'll bring healing to us. And we'll have healing forever and ever and ever because of the balm that is in Gilead. There is a balm. There is a cure. There is a physician. And His name is Jesus Christ. And you know something else about this resin? Came from a scrubby little tree. Didn't look like much. It was on the mountains up in the lands of Gilead. And they would scrape the limbs. They would have to bruise it. They'd have to break it. And when the honey would come out, you know what they discovered on the inside in that resin? It has medicinal purposes. We can use that for healing. Can you imagine who the first person was who noticed that in this scrub, little scrubby tree, there was a resin that was coming out, and they took it and applied it to a wound, and it began to heal? They said that this balm, that it was like a disinfectant. It would cleanse. And it also was, it had properties. They were not narcotic or anything like that, but it had properties that would kill the pain. So you would put that ointment, that liniment, that balm on, and it would disinfect, and it would soothe, and it would remove, it would lessen the pain. And so it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said in chapter 53, verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." You know, there is a sting of death, and there was a victory in the grave. And there is the pain of sin. We have observed, or maybe in your past life before you knew the Lord, you knew what it was like to live a life of sin, a life of pain, a life of anguish, a life that really was a life of defeatedness. You really didn't know where to turn. That's why the alcoholic continues to try to keep themselves in a drunken stupor so they can remove themselves from reality. Right. Try to remove what was going on around them. What's happening in this world, I can't deal with it. I can't take it. I can't live with it. And so they keep themselves in a drunken stupor so they don't have to deal with reality. But the fact is, if we'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can turn your life around. He can take the life of a drunkard and they'll no longer be a drunkard or alcoholic. He can take the life of a drug addict. I've been many times in prisons and talked with men who said I was a drug addict, but somebody told me about the Lord and I was delivered from my drug addiction. You see, He can deliver us from all of those things, those pains, even the pain of sin. The final pain of sin is death, and the final pain of death is the grave, and the final pain of the grave is hell, and in hell it's eternal death, eternal dying, eternal fire. But the Lord Jesus Christ has healing in Him that can deliver you from the pain of death, from the pain of the grave, from the pain of sin, from the pain of hell, and take you directly into the presence of God when life is over. So there is sorrow in this world. I preached a lot about that this morning. Somebody said, "Preacher, you did preach a lot about it." My goodness. There is a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow, a lot of hurt, a lot of bad things going on in this world. But there is healing And there is help. But you got to take the medicine. You got to take the medicine. You know, I'll tell you this, and some of you probably already know it, but I'm a type 2 diabetic. So every day, I have to take medication for that. Currently, metformin pills. I'm taking metformin pills for that. Do you know what happens if I don't take the medicine? My blood sugar goes up, up, up. And pretty soon it begins to show in my body that my blood sugar is not under control, and it becomes to be more and more trouble. But you know, as long as I take the medicine, I can keep it controlled. As long as I do what's right, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, you can keep it under control. It's a disease. And at this point, it's incurable. It is incurable. But you know, the disease of sin, it is curable. It doesn't have to destroy you. They say being a diabetic is like dying by 1,000 cuts. Some may could testify to that. But you don't have to die 1,000 cuts because of sin. Deliverance is available. The balm is available. So, is there a balm in Gilead? Of course there is. Is there a physician there? Of course there is. The balm of Gilead is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He also is the physician that can heal our sin-sick souls. Our Heavenly Father, have Your way in the remainder of this service and the altar call, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dr. Harper. Appreciate that so much. I'm going to ask you all to stand while we come with a song. You're here tonight, and God's spoken to our hearts. You say, well, preacher, we're all saved tonight. Well, I don't know that. But there's still, I know, whenever there's a gathering, there are always burdens, there are always heartaches. There's always a need for the balm of Gilead. In your own soul, in your own heart, in your own life, there's difficulties. How about that balm in Gilead? Would you be willing to say, preacher, I just want to come and pray. I want to ask God to help me as I search the Scripture. I'm concerned about something in my life or something in my family's life, or I'm concerned about our nation. I'm concerned about what we're going to leave our children. As I was talking to Brother Steve this afternoon at lunch, I said, you know, for a lot of us, the runway is getting short and the liftoff is not going to be long. We know that. But what are we going to leave those that we leave behind? What are we going to leave these little children, these young people? What are we going to leave them? Are we going to leave them the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God? Folks, our nation is in trouble. As Brother Harper mentioned this morning, our nation's in trouble. How concerned are we about it? There is a bomb in Gilead, and it'll heal our nation. Would you be willing to just say, I want to slip out of where I am, and I want to come and pray. I want to talk to the Lord about our nation, about our government, our president, and our leaders. Maybe somebody in your family. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Well, we're going to sing in just a moment. Would you be willing to say, yes, I want to come and pray. I want to do that. Amen. Amen. What number are we going to sing,
number
brother?
562.
562 in your hymnal. But while they're playing and these are coming, would you just say, I want to come and pray. Why don't you do that tonight? Would you do that?
Amen.
while these are praying, would you like to come and pray? I think that's sufficient. I'm going to ask our brother, where's Benjamin? Benjamin? Well, Brother Benjamin's going to take an offering. He told me, he reminded me to take an offering. He went and got the offering plate and off my desk and put it in here. So maybe you didn't have opportunity to give this morning to our missionary, and you'd like to do that. And if you would, like I say, if you... You can do that just now. If you want to write an IOU, you can do that. We do accept those, but we vigorously come and get it. I'm not serious, of course. But let's pray and ask God to bless. And it's good to have Dr. and Mrs. Kershaw with us tonight. We're going to ask Dr. Kershaw to pray for us. And once he's prayed, Brother Benjamin's going to take up the offering, and then after he takes up the offering, then you can don't leave first. You got to take off the offering first, and then you can leave. Okay, after Brother Kershaw prays. God bless you, Dr. Kershaw. Amen. Amen. Now, this is the maiden voyage of Sermon Audio, or a Sermon Audio broadcast, and so we're hoping that it went out okay. I'm getting a thumbs up from back there in the sound room, and that seemed like it went okay, and I'm hoping all of those that were logged on tonight, I saw there was about 23 at one time logged on, so... We're hoping it did okay, and if it didn't, you just bear with us and give us another 10 years, and we'll have it. We're all the kinks ironed out of it, and everything will be fine, okay? All right, God bless you. Good to see all of you tonight. Fellowship one with the other. Amen.